Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
First of all, I want to take a look at a scripture that's not on your notes, but it's going to come up here on the PowerPoint, and that is Romans 4, 18 through 22. Blake read this last week, but I'll read it again in a little bit different translation. Talking about Abraham, it says, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. Now, I want you to stop right there. And how many of you have something in your life that you would say, Roger, when I look at that situation, all I can say is it's contrary to hope. It's contrary to me having any faith. It's contrary to me believing that God could even move in that area. It seems so hard. It seems so difficult. It seems so lost. It seems so dark. How many of you would say you've got at least one area like that in your life or in the lives of those immediately around you? So we can relate to what Abraham is going through here when he says, who contrary to hope and hope believed. He believed anyways, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, so the impossibility of having any offspring. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was, what's it say there? Say it like you mean it. Strengthened in faith. And so as we go through this series on Wednesday nights, our prayer for you and for ourselves is that you would be strengthened in faith, that I would be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what He, God, had promised, He was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to Him for righteousness. Now, here's what we're going to do at the end of our service tonight. We're going to get into faith circles. Okay, you ready for that? Faith circles. And these are going to be groups of four or five people max. And what I want you to do in that group, so I want you to be thinking about it right now, is I want you to share one area that you feel like you needed impartation of faith for, something that you need to believe God for. It could be for a person. It could be for something in your own life. It could be for a physical healing. It could be a relationship. It could be a physical healing that you need. I want you to be right now, as I'm speaking tonight, I want you to be thinking, what's one thing that I need more faith for? And then in these faith circles, you're going to pray for other people to have breakthroughs. Now, you may say, Roger, you know, I've not done that. I'm not comfortable doing that. If you're a born-again believer, God can do breakthrough prayers through you. Do you believe that? God can do breakthrough prayers through you, and sometimes you just need to step out of your comfort zone and let God move through you and to bring a breakthrough in other people's lives. And you might be sitting there thinking, you know, I was afraid they were going to do something like this tonight because I just feel like about as faith-filled as a piece of wet cardboard. Are you with me? I feel that way all the time. And it's so often like I'll come into church or I'll be, you know, in the grocery store or wherever and just feel like, you know, crummy. And all of a sudden I run into someone and they like want me to pray for them. And I'm like, no, like not now. Like could you give me like 24 hours to kind of like try to pull it together and maybe I could pray for you. But I know I have to pray for them right then, not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a Christian. And it's amazing how even when you don't feel like it and you don't feel like you have any faith, that God will move through you and will give you a breakthrough prayer for somebody else. And you'll be like wondering, like, where in the world did that come from? Well, it came from God. Okay, so can you be with me in this little experiment? How many of you, raise your hand if you're willing to try a breakthrough prayer for somebody. Raise your hand if you're willing to try that afterwards. Okay, good. So you've also got a little bit of time to kind of, you know, get ready. But you don't have to psych yourself up. It's God. Okay, let's go to our notes. Faith that moves will be tested. So that's a good thing. I've got lots of those in my life. Faith that moves will be tested. Genesis 11, here's where Abraham, called Abram here, his name gets changed later on. Here's where we first hear of him. Genesis 11, 27. This is the genealogy of Terah. So Terah is Abram's dad. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot. That's important because we're going to talk about him. And Haran died before his father in Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldees. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai. She becomes Sarah. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. She had no child. So here's the test. Abram, Sarai, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, but there's just one small problem. You're barren. There's one small problem. You can't have any children. Now, I want you to take your hand and lay it over your heart right now. And every one of us have barren areas in our lives. And as you lay your hand over your heart, I want you to believe that the God of miracles can do things even in the barren places of your life, the most barren places, the most impossible places. Abram and Sarai, Abraham and Sarah, would go through incredible testing for the next 25 years as they believed and they believed God for the promises that he gave, and they didn't see any of it, none of it, zero of it come to pass. No room in the land, nothing to call their own, no children to call their own, that at least it came from Abraham and Sarah. Barrenness, difficulties, trials. And sometimes we wonder, God, why so much barrenness? Why so much difficulty? Why so much trials? It's because of that quote I have there on your notes. Sometimes the greater the test, the greater the reward. And God's putting you through tests right now. God's putting you through difficulties right now because God wants to reward you. And God wants to bless you. And it may not always be here on this earth, and you may not always see it in the way that you would like to see it, but God takes us through difficult and excruciating tests because he wants to bless us, and he wants to reward us. And Abraham and Sarah here, as Blake talked about last week, the beginning of the line that would bring forth Jesus Christ, the father of the faithful, gets to be put through this excruciatingly difficult 25-year trial. Faith that moves will be tested. If you want to avoid tests, avoid moving. But then you'll get a different kind of test. So really, you can't avoid tests. But when you move out, when you start following God, when you hear God's voice speak to you and you go for godly counsel and you feel, yeah, this really is God, and you begin to move out, because we're part of the McDonald's generation, the instant generation, the microwave, the internet, the Twitter generation. We want it all now. We want it all instantly. And all of a sudden, we move out on this voice. We heard God speak. Other godly counsel confirms it. And all of a sudden, 25 years, zip. We must not have heard from God. No. God's just testing you. So faith that moves will be tested. Also, the second is that faith leaves behind the seen and moves toward the unseen. Blake touched on this last week, Genesis 1 and 2 in chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. They had gotten halfway there in the verse before. We didn't read far enough to see that, but they got halfway. They got to Haran and they dwelt there. And now God says, now's the time to go all the way. I've called you to follow me completely. And he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Now, to understand what a radical call this was, we got to understand where Abraham is coming from and where he's going. So imagine, you live here in Denver, and it's a pretty happening city. There's a lot going on. It's pretty cutting edge, and you got a lot of people and nice buildings, and we got a basketball team that's doing pretty good right now. And so you're here from Denver, and God speaks to you. He says, I'm gonna bless the world through you, and I want you to move to like Lyman. Or I want you to move to some little rural town in Kansas. Now, don't all send me emails, those of you that love those towns. But I'm just trying to draw a comparison that when he lived in Ur of the Chaldees, it was like the centerpiece. It was like New York City of its day. Archaeologists have uncovered 70-foot-high temples. They've uncovered multiple-story houses that even had sanitation. They even had bathrooms. They were an advanced civilization. They've uncovered schools where there was learning. They learned grammar. They learned math. They learned science. This was an advanced population. This was an advanced city. So you would think that, if God's going to use you to birth something great, I mean, shouldn't you be like in New York? You've seen the bumper stickers. They say New York, Paris, Moab. Have you seen those? It's kind of like that. It's like, okay, you took me out of Paris over to New York, and now I'm going excuse me if you're from there, Kansas? Or how about even worse than that, Nebraska? Going to be a Cornhusker? Save your emails. Okay, so he has to leave behind all this that he can see in this, literally, a glorious city, and go out to the rural Hickville, where the Cornhuskers live, and they live for fall college football. And nothing else. At least in Ur of the Chaldees, they like art and stuff. Okay, I'm getting myself in trouble. Hopefully, if this is going to Nebraska, please. No. Okay, Hebrews 11, 1-3. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. This is all in the overhead, not on your notes. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which are visible. God was now going to do something brand new, and it wasn't going to be out of the things which are visible. Okay, next. Faith moves on, promises, and becomes a blessing. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What was God talking about? The first thing that God was talking about was that through Abraham would come Jesus. And in Jesus, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Everything in Abraham and Sarah pointed forward to Jesus. The ultimate fulfillment, the fullness of all things would be in Jesus. But God called Abraham to be a blessing. I remember sitting down with a gentleman who, he was in the trades. He was a plumber, great guy, faithful member of our church. And he had hurt his neck to where he could no longer do that trade anymore. So he was like beside himself. He's got a wife. He's got kids. How am I going to provide for my family? And a couple of businessmen in the church said, hey, why don't you come and why don't you work for us? These guys were what are called headhunters. Now, not the headhunters that you're thinking of. Headhunters, they find jobs for people, work like in the executive realm. You can make a lot of money doing that. And they said, you know, we'd like you to come and be a part of what we're doing here. We'll make you a full partner and you have income for your family. And the thing that he asked these two men, he said, are you guys heavy tithers? He didn't just want to know if they were tithers. If he was going to get involved with these guys, he wanted to know, are these guys real givers? Or do they like do the tithe and do they go beyond the tithe? Because if I'm going to be with them, I want to be a blessing. If God's going to bless me, I want to be a conduit, a blessing to other people. And if I don't want to be working with a bunch of guys who the conduit stops with them, but if I'm going to link arm in arm with these people, I want that conduit to go through me. I want to be a heavy tither, and I want to be around other people that are heavy tithers. Well, this guy eventually moved to Portland and started a job-finding business up there in Portland, ended up becoming the biggest job-finding business in all of Portland, continued to be a heavy giver to the church that he was in, and eventually, he's like my age, sold the business and retired, and now spends a lot of time on a yacht on the Oregon coast going up and down. Now, I'm not promising that that's going to happen to you if you become a big giver. But here's the point, is that God blesses us so we might be a blessing to other people. The greatest blessing is to give it away, not to keep it for ourselves. Up on the screen, it's not on your notes. In James, it says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Well, we all have that. We all want pleasures. We all want to have things. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. This is written to the church, guys. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. God does want to give you pleasures, but he wants to give pleasures to people who want to be givers, who want it to flow through them to other people. Okay, next. If we're going to have a faith-forward kind of life, faith keeps moving on. It says in Genesis 12:4, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm 75, I'm thinking I might like to settle down. Are you with me? Like, I don't really want to, I'm not thinking, oh, I can't wait. You know, when I'm 75, I'm going to like move to the Alaska wilderness. I'm going to be like one of those reality shows where the grizzlies are outside, they're banging on your door. I think I'm going to go do that when I'm 75. No, I'm thinking when I'm 75, a condo, I don't want to have to mow my own yard. You know, you shovel for me. Like I'm just like taking care of. Here's this guy, he's 75 years old, but yet he's still willing to step out and do something fresh and new for God. I've got in my hand right here, I'm going to change the person's name, but I have an application to work in the healing room from, not a real name, but we'll just say a lady named Susan. Okay? Susan was born in 1937. Now, I'm not real good at math, so I pulled out my calculator. Susan is 75 years old. And she's still putting in applications to do something she hasn't done yet. Isn't that exciting? Now, I don't know if you're here tonight, you know, your real name's not Susan. I don't know if maybe you're watching online, but can we give Susan a hand? Can we say, you know what? I want to be taking on brand new things when I'm 75, and Jeff talked about it on Sunday morning, that those of you that maybe you've been here a long time and you've paved the way for the rest of us, you know, we still need you. We need you putting in applications. We need you going into new territory, because faith needs to keep moving on. God wants us to keep moving on. And to the Susans of the world, I say, God bless you. Go get them in the healing room. May people be healed. May people be set free by you as you go into a new land as a 75-year-old taking on a new ministry. God bless you. Way to go. I hope I can do the same thing when I'm 75. Yeah, give her a hand. That is awesome. That is awesome. Okay, what else do we need to do if we're going to have a faith-forward kind of life? The fifth thing we need to have is that faith moves by works. Faith moves by works. And I want you to notice something here in this verse. Genesis 12:5. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son. I remember now, they've stopped halfway, okay? So they're halfway to where they're supposed to be. And all their possessions that they had gathered and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And then look at this here. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Do you see the beautiful simplicity of the Word of God? And they departed to go to the land of Canaan, so they came to the land of Canaan. My question for you is this: what is it that God's been calling you to, urging you to, and yet you haven't taken that step? You're saying, I just want to have faith, God. Well, sometimes it says that faith and works go together. Why don't you sign up for that college class that God's been talking to you about? You know, why don't you get more skilled in an area, and you're thinking, well, you know, I'm old, or I'm young, or I'm poor, or I'm busy, or whatever it might be. And God has someplace He wants you to go. But you have to take some steps. You have to do some faith steps. You have to do some things to get there. You have to depart to go somewhere, and that's how you end up somewhere. So is there something in your life that you're not doing that God's called you to do? A middle spot, a middle step that will get you to where God's called you to be? God has more for you. There's never a time to give up and say that you've arrived. One person said this. He said, if you're not dead, you're not done. Isn't that good? Say that after me. But we'll put I into it, okay? So if I'm not dead, I'm not done. You ready? Here we go. If I'm not dead, I'm not done. Okay, say it like you mean it. If I'm not dead, I'm not done. So you're not done. God's always got some steps, always got some things He wants you to do. God moves by faith, and faith moves by works. And then next, faith moves over seen difficulties. What would those seen difficulties be for Abram? It says in Genesis 12:6, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the Terebinth tree of Moreh, and the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants, I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Oops. Like, did God miss something here? He says, Abram, it's yours. This is your land. But then it's like, Abram's like, but what about them? I think it would be kind of like this. When we moved from Lake Tahoe to come here, we'd found our house. We said, yeah, we want that house. And then it closed while we were in Lake Tahoe. And so we're moving out here. We got our U-Haul. We're coming in, trying to find the street again because we'd only been there a few times. Now imagine if we had pulled up. The realtor said, it's closed. It's all yours. You can have it on this date right here. And we drive up and we notice that there's people living in the house. And we're like kind of scratching our head. We double check the address. Yeah, this is it. This is our address. We call the realtor, say, did we make a mistake? No. It's yours. And not only are they living in the house, but they're sitting out on the front porch with a gun. And if we try to like say, that's our house and we're coming to get it, they're going to shoot us. That's kind of the situation for Abram. Here's the land. It's yours, Abram. It's just one small problem. The Canaanites are there, and they are so fierce that later on in Numbers it says it's a land that eats its own inhabitants, not the actual land itself. That was a very fertile land. With all the tribal warfare and conflict constantly going on, and here is Abraham like, yeah, like, how am I going to get the land? Everything that God has promised to you has an enemy. His name is Satan and demons and those that work with him to try to keep you from your promised land. So don't be surprised if in your promised land the Canaanites are dwelling, because Satan doesn't want you to have your promised land. God doesn't want us just to possess what we already have. It's not just about possessing, those of us that are already Christians. We're going to put big towers up. We're going to make sure we all still stay Christians. No, our inheritance is beyond the walls of this church. Your inheritance is your neighbors that don't know Christ. It's your family members that don't know Christ. It's your workplace. It's the very place where the Canaanites are living. That's your promised land. The place where the Canaanites aren't, it's already been taken. God wants you to keep going and going and going and going. So who's your Canaanite? Who's living in your house with a gun on the porch, kind of like the Appalachian Mountains? That's your land. Just because there's someone on the porch with a gun doesn't mean that's not your house. It just means it's going to take a little bit of spiritual warfare to get it. And then lastly, faith moves with eternal vision. Genesis 12, 7 through 9 says, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. You'll hear about Ai in our weekend services. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. I want you to notice that he pitched tents, but he built altars. The tents were temporary. The altars were at least somewhat permanent. Not permanent to where we still see them today, though. But the most permanent thing in Abram's life wasn't where he lived. It was where he worshiped. It says in Hebrews 11, 8 through 10, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That city is the heavenly Jerusalem. Abraham had his sights beyond just what would happen here on this earth. But he looked at there someday there's going to be a city that has foundations that will never crumble, will never fade away, will never burn up, but is there forever and ever and ever and ever. And as we are going through this faith walk and this faith fight and this faith difficulty, we need to remember that ultimately we're looking to the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. We're looking to Jesus Christ, and someday we're going to see him face to face, and he's going to say, good job. Good job, men. You kept going forward in faith. Good job, women. You kept going forward in faith. And he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Would you stand to your feet?
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.